a time for excitement, for the things that make us angry or scare us silly, but then there are all the other times.
Sometimes we just want something that will calm us down and slow our heart rates. I'm Stephen Thompson.
And I'm Linda Holmes. We're talking about calming culture today on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR, so don't go away.
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from Navigator, designed to help modern teams run effective meetings in and out of the office. With beautiful agendas that bring together everyone's voices and invite collaboration, Navigator empowers leaders to run focused, engaging meetings from anywhere. And with everything you need to record minutes, capture outcomes, and make progress, you and the team can stay on the same page, even when you're not in the same room. Try it for free today at navigator.com.
Welcome back. You just met NPR Music's Stephen Thompson. Also with us is Glenn Weldon of the NPR Arts Desk. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, Linda.
So we feel like it's time to talk about some calming things that just make us feel very chill. So if you're in need of like a little distraction, whether it's because there's too much news or whatever else is going on, we are here for you. Glenn Weldon, what did you bring?
When I was thinking about this, I thought to myself, what's the criteria here? And it's that I know that violence stirs the blood. So obviously whatever I choose has to be completely free of violence. And then when I picked the thing that soothes me a great deal, I realized, oh, there's violence all over this thing. It's just that it's at a very far remove. So it turns out it's a real-time strategy game. That's a kind of gaming where you start off on a map of the world you can't see much of because you don't have that many people. You don't have that many villagers yet. And you're looking down from overhead, so if you've got a god complex, it kind of keys into that. You have some villagers and a little town center, and one by one, by clicking your mouse, you send them off to cut down trees or to go mine ore or to farm crops, and then you can upgrade your town center, and you get more crops, and you can get more villages, and then once you get enough villagers and enough crops, you can start building armies, and then you can start building navies, and then you can start sending them out to little scouts to kind of expand the territory by finding other villages and then develop siege weapons to kill them completely. There is something so fluid to this kind of gameplay. It's called real-time strategy because it's not turn-based. You don't have do your thing and then wait for the computer or your other player to do something. It's constant, fluid motion. There is something so satisfying just pulling back and seeing all little villagers and all little soldiers doing the task that you ask them to do.
Uh-huh.
Because if you have any experience in management, it is a very satisfying thing. Just do your job. It rewards patience and long-range planning. The version of this that I started off with was a game called Age of Empires, which came out in 1997, and then there's different versions of it. The thing about that game is that you can be different nationalities, and you can kind of develop your technology to go through different eras, which is dangerously close to learning. So I kind of suspected it after a while. And then finally, when they came out with a version of Middle-earth called Battle for Middle-earth 1 and 2, came out in 2004 and 2006, where instead of learning, you're just sending orcs to go attack the elves, or you're sending your Minas Tirith and you're protecting it from the Nazgul. It's so much more fun and satisfying, and the sound design is so great. And so if you are an elf army, for example, and you wait long enough and you do a good job, then you eventually get Galadriel, who can go out in the battlefield and just kick orc butt by just sending them flying. It is so satisfying. Entire afternoons have been spent, because it is so comforting and so addicting. There have been attempts recently to take this kind of game and turn it into a multiplayer experience, which means that people can buy technology and then come and kick your butt. I hate everything about that. It's just always, I love it when it's me and the computer, and they don't have a game like this right now.
Yeah.
So please, if you know of one that does not involve learning or history, hit me up, because I just love this kind of gaming.
Excellent, nice. Excellent. Thank you very much, Glenn Weldon. Stephen Thompson, what do you got?
This is a tricky one for me, if part of the idea of this is to talk about something we haven't talked about.
Yeah, yeah.
Because as an anxious person, the things that make me happy from a pop cultural standpoint tend to be things that settle my poor jangled nerves. So I want to throw another shout out to something I've talked about a little bit before. As much as you got your TikTok over here, you got your little brief videos over on one side, I am a fan of slow TV.
All right.
Where you can go to YouTube and you can find like 9-hour videos where they situate a camera at the head of a train and roll slowly through the Icelandic countryside.
I'm yawning just listening to you describe it, which is a good thing, probably.
Well, they're kind of a variation on like ASMR videos that people watch in order to soothe themselves. I'm a big fan. I talked about it in What's Making Me Happy like 3 years ago. The band Sigur Rós, one of my go-to calming musical influences, the Icelandic band, did a piece based on generative software called Route One, where they followed the 1,332-kilometer journey around Iceland's Ring Road and set it to a 24-hour Sigur Rós composition that was made using this software. And you can go on YouTube and watch all 24 hours of it for free. Linda is literally still yawning.
No, it's great. It's making me feel so calm.
It is so relaxing. I love like very long form, slow things. For somebody who has kind of a short attention span, I find these weirdly hypnotic. I also want to throw out a shout out. If you Google National Knitting Night on NRK TV, you can watch a group of Norwegians. This is a Katie Presley
standby. I was just going to say, you have really changed since you've been living with Katie Presley.
This is a Katie Presley standby. It is Norwegians trying to break a world record, so that's exciting.
Tension.
So there's tension in which they tried to produce a sweater, quote, from sheep's back to human's back in less than the world record of 4 hours, 51 minutes, and 14 seconds. And if you don't want to get spoiled, don't scan ahead to how long the video is, because that will give you a sense of whether they are successful. But it is a bunch of very cheerful and lovely Norwegians kind of chattering happily as they like shear a sheep and then try to turn it into a sweater. This sort of stuff is catnip for the jangled, and I highly recommend it.
Thank you very much, Stephen Thompson. I will say I have the same problem because my calming things tend to often be my go-tos, right?
Yes.
But look, you know what's ultimately calming?
What's calming
is telling the truth. So I decided I was going to come in here and tell you what I have been taking in to soothe my jangled nerves.
Great.
You know what it is? I could tell you something cool. I could tell you it's something where I'm learning. What it actually is old seasons of America's Next Top Model.
Yeah.
Now,
sure you go. There you go.
Here's the thing about Top Model. The stakes could not be lower.
True.
In the sense that, first of all, when you realize that unlike, let's say, Top Chef or Project Runway, America's Next Top Model has essentially never produced a hugely successful winner.
Like, as a model.
Well, exactly. And none of them are serious. None of them are people you would really book as, like, runway models.
For a while, you would occasionally see one pop up as a runway model on Project Runway.
Yeah, that has happened a few times. But the stakes are so low because, yes, everybody wants to be a model. And there are exceptions to this, but they don't tend to be people who are hugely put upon, hugely suffering. They are often people who are just like really excited about the possibility of modeling because it seems fun. Yes, they fight. Some people find fighting not soothing. They don't fight all the time. And you can, if you want, just skip the first like 20 minutes of every episode, which is usually the part where you're going to get your fighting.
Right.
And then you're going to get your photo shoot and your panel where they look through all the photos and they say, oh, this is a pretty picture. That's a pretty. And then somebody goes home. But if you watch the right seasons, and not every episode has this, so you have to look carefully at the casting of each season. But if you look at one of the ones where Jay Alexander is one of the judges and is working as the runway coach, if you can find one of the episodes where Jay Alexander is imitating someone walking, is doing like a mocking imitation of a young woman walking, it's shocking how funny it is. It's shocking how it's like I would watch a whole show that was just someone walks and then Jay Alexander imitates the person's walk. There are things about this show that are so dumb and yet so kind of satisfying because you just feel like it's just nuts. Like, it's just nuts.
Tyra Banks is very committed to what Tyra Banks
is doing. She is so committed. And the thing is, I never get to a point where, like, I can't stand her. I get to a point where she kind of drives me crazy, but that's a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
Usually the people who are on this show are not terrible. I mean, sometimes they're just kind of young and unformed, but they're usually not awful to each other in most cases.
Occasionally a beer is poured on a weave.
That's true. It's true. And honestly, if you just were to watch the makeover episodes, which get weirder and weirder over the course of the show, as Tyra Banks begins trying to make headlines with makeovers. So, you know, when you get to the later seasons when she started, they did a couple scenes that had men, that had male models among the group, one of whom got a beard weave. That is a thing that is not a thing. That is a thing that Tyra Banks attempted to make a thing. They got weirder. And if you just look for the makeover episodes, which are around like the third-ish episode of most seasons, you will find something calming in its sheer nuttery. Okay. And you can stream it on Hulu. And like I said, truth shall set you free. Mm. And my truth is I've been watching old episodes of America's Next Top Model. Be with me, people. Be with me. That's what I find calming. So I want you to come and tell us what you find calming. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/PCHH or tweet us at PCHH. That brings us to the end of our show. Thanks to you guys for being here.
Thank you.
And of course, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. If you have a second, sign up for our newsletter. It's at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. We will see you all right back here next time.
Change is hard, transitions can be even harder, but they're also an opportunity to explore and discover and reimagine things you thought you knew. I'm Manoush Zomorodi, the new host of NPR's TED Radio Hour, and with all this in mind, we've decided to make my entire first episode about reinvention. Subscribe or listen right now.